Hello, this is Daryl here, sending love as always. Thank you for tuning in. I just want to say, if you like this interview, you can check our website for companion workbooks, action guides, tools, checklists, templates, and show notes with links for everything mentioned on the call. Just visit bestbusinesscoach.ca. That's best, B-E-S-T, businesscoach.ca. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Daryl Urbanski, and welcome to the Best Business Podcast. My mission is to help create 200 new multimillionaire business owners. How? You'll do better when you know better. In my interviews, you'll hear from self-made millionaires, seven-figure business owners, authors, and world-class experts sharing how they did it so you can too, without experiencing the same obstacles they did. Now, if you like this interview, please share it with a friend you think will benefit. They'll appreciate it, and I will as well. You can also connect with me on social media. Look for Daryl Urbanski, D-A-R-Y-L, Urban Ski, U-R-B-A-N-S-K-I, and add me so we can be friends. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy what I've prepared for you right here, right now. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by the one and only Carissa Hill. Carissa is a business growth, sales, and marketing coach based in Brisbane, Australia. She's been starting and growing small businesses since she was 16 years old, which is about as long as I've been at it. I started when I was 17, but unlike me, when she was 21, she started a tanning, hair, and lash extension salon in the garage of her rental property. By age 24, she had 3 stores, 9 staff, and 2 of her own product ranges, all built using Facebook. That's impressive. By 25, she was no longer working in the business and was traveling the world and running the show from home. Kind of every entrepreneur's dream. And today she specializes in teaching others across multiple industries how to use Facebook to build a brand and generate new clients on demand. I've asked Carissa to join us here today to help us grow and get some new clients on demand. Carissa, thank you for joining us, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
That's an amazing story. Do you come from a family of entrepreneurs? Is that why you got started so young? Or how did you even get into business?
I don't even know. It's just something that's come really naturally to me. None of my family members have been like that. They've always kind of tried to, I guess when I was younger, tame me down. Like, oh, you know, wouldn't you feel more secure in a job working for someone else? I remember telling my mom when I was 16 that I was going to work from home and have my own business. And she just was a bit worried about that. But, you know, you can't stop it. If it's in you, you can't turn it off.
Right. I love it. Okay. So you knew when you were 16 that you wanted to work from home and have your own business and that sort of stuff. And so what did you do? Like, did you get started when you were 16? We jumped from 16 to 21. What happened those years of 16? Were you dabbling at all? Did you work for anybody that seemed to be a good role model for you?
Yeah. So I've always been one of those people that just naturally starts businesses out of things and monetizes them. I was talking to someone about this earlier today, actually. Even when I was a little kid, I was quite crafty. So I would like make things or paint things. And I was always trying to figure out how to sell them. Like, it wasn't just to do it for fun. I mean, it was, but I always felt like they deserved to be sold.
Right.
And then for my 16th birthday, I got a digital camera when they were quite new at that point. And I started, instead of just like taking happy snaps like most of my friends, I learned how to take really good quality macro shots of like flowers in my mum's garden. And then I started an eBay store and sold prints of flowers on eBay.
What?
And then I used to even sell things at school. Like, if people wanted some lollies from the local store or whatever, like, I'd buy them before school early and then sell them for double in the lunch breaks. I just do it naturally. I always think you can start a business out of anything.
Right. That is so awesome. So in that career, what have been some of the biggest challenges that you faced? I mean, it's not easy to do that.
Yeah. I believe it is easy to do that. So I guess.
Sorry. You're right. I should put my foot in my mouth. Very easy. But I mean, there are challenges. It's not as easy as just going and collecting a paycheck.
Yes, so many challenges. So I guess in my business journey, the biggest challenges started happening when I did start actually, you know, taking the business seriously and employing people, becoming a boss, paying wages, renting like leasing properties, paying rent. The more money you make, the more you have to take your taxes seriously and like start being registered for GST we have in Australia, different taxes in different countries. But a lot of that stuff I found really challenging, and I learned all of that pretty much the hard way. I didn't do any business courses at all until I was at least kind of 4 years into having a business. So at one point I did feel really like I built the business quite successfully because I was really good with people. I was really good with marketing. I've always found it really easy to get customers and make sales. So I had like, I had two or three stores and probably five staff by the time I actually took my first business course, which was great. Like I learned a lot the hard way, which I like now, but at the time it wasn't fun. But I did get myself into a lot of, you know, staff issues, being stolen from and lied to, and people taking advantage of you and being too soft and being too hard, and getting a bit of tax debt, and, you know, having to pay bills and not having money and then not tracking anything. So those have all been my biggest challenges. But once I started learning, that was like the first course that I did obviously opened up my eyes to how much there is to learn, and I've been addicted ever since to courses and books and mentors and all sorts of stuff.
Was it just through you went and got the training for those things to help you with that, the bookkeeping and that, or was it in managing staff and juggling all those? I mean, how did you, I guess what I want to get into is some of the drama, like, like when you were faced with that, like, the staffing issue and becoming a boss, what was one of the hardest parts of being a boss for you?
Yeah. So I really hate upsetting people. So I think that biggest, like the, I can tell you the first thing that really broke my heart in regards to having staff was I hired this young girl and she was amazing. Well, I thought she was amazing and I gave her everything and I gave her whatever she needed. I was always praising her. I was always like, I'm going to be the best boss ever. And one day after she'd worked for me for probably about, you know, a year, and I'd given her so much trust and she'd helped me grow the business so much. I was so grateful for her. I found out that she had been stealing money from the business and lying to my clients. She was booking in clients while I wasn't there and then deleting them from the record book, telling them that it was broken so that they had to pay cash. and so I just felt so betrayed, like, my trust in people was just broken. So it really planted negativity in my head for quite a long time. And I found that everyone I hired after that, I didn't immediately give them trust. Like I was coming from a very skeptical perspective. I was thinking how I need to install cameras and I need to, it obviously taught me a lot about improving systems so we could track more things that were going on. But that was a big thing that I had to get over, was being able to trust people first before, like, you can't just not trust people on first meeting and it's unfair.
Right. Yeah. I've heard of so many stories of that. I know a guy, he had an assistant who had been helping him for 6 years. He was a speaker, mostly sold from stage, mostly actually did a tour in Australia and, had a blast, really loved it. You know, went back again and again and again. And she relocated, I think, from the US to Australia after 3 years of working with him. He was kind of going back and forth. And at one point he found out that at the back of the room, he'd be on stage selling. She had two ATM terminals and one was his and one was hers. And so he'd get the front and send people to the back of the room to buy. And she would swipe like two for you, one for me, two for you, one for me. So there's a lot of that. So that's one thing that I definitely have heard. Like as an owner, you're never going to get out of two things. You're never going to completely remove yourself from the marketing and the money management, because as soon as you do, other people are going to mess it up on you, no matter how well-intentioned they are. You know, you might not have to do the stuff. You may not have to do the bookkeeping. You may not have to do the marketing, but you're going to have to keep your tabs on it. So
that's crazy.
That's so crazy. So what would you recommend to anyone who's starting out hiring people and struggling and kind of going through that? Is there any tips that you've learned of the trade to kind of?
Yeah. Well, what I do now is I just make sure, like, I guess one of the mistakes I made when I was younger and when I didn't know any better was that I would just hire people without really thinking it through. So it's like kind of, I need someone to do this. So I'll interview some people and I'll pick whichever one seems like the best or whichever one I like the best. And I think the mistake that I made, like this is back before I had done any research on different personality types or using like the DISC profile and things like that, understanding different types of people. I would take, like, and this is what most people do, is they, when you're interviewing people, you're usually attracted to people like yourself. So if you meet someone like yourself, oh, this person's like me, that's awesome, I'll hire them. But then if you're trying to get, find someone to do the things that you're not good at or that you don't want to do, and they're like you, then they're not going to want to
work. Yeah. Yep.
So I think the best thing that I've learned now is to hire people that have the strengths and the talents and the skills and the personality traits that I don't, to fill in the areas that I'm not best at, so that I can focus on what I'm best at, and which is all the creative fun stuff. And I want really technical people that are more task focused to do all of that admin stuff. And,
you know. Right, right. Yeah, you can't be, yeah, you can't be everything in your business, because you, even people like you, don't have the skill sets that would make them excel. And you want people that are good at everything. I think that's really important. In fact, it's actually funny, Kathy, my girlfriend, she's looking to hire some people for her team. And there's a document that I use to really help me rationalize. I did a bunch of hiring a couple months back. And it was funny because it was, I'd use this tool on and off, and I haven't used it in a couple of years, to be really transparent. But it's a tool where it's almost like a factor analysis tool. So what you do is you come up with like three or four criteria, and then each one's a column. Like maybe it is experience, maybe it's requested pay. So I like to ask people they want to be paid, because I don't want to just, I don't know what people think about the pay I would offer them. And I want to hire people that think they're being paid well. You know, and I want to be able to hire people I can get bonuses to. So it's like experience, a relevant experience, you know, what they're asking for and pay, and, you know, just soft, maybe some soft skill stuff. And you kind of give each one a score, how important it is on a scale of 1 to 10. And then there's a statistical thing you do. You divide them by each, and you basically rank people in the score. And when I went through, what was a big surprise to me, going kind of, we said, the person I liked the most did not score the highest. And I realized that I liked them because they were more like me. Exactly what you said, right? They were more like me. We had more in common. You know, I could empathize with them, but they weren't the best people, at least for that one role I'm thinking about, that weren't the best fit for that. So I think that's a really valuable lesson, because I remember one of my first mentors, they told me that everyone's going to be a beta version of you, Daryl. You know, and I think that's kind of a mentality people have to understand. That's why training processes and such are so important. So that's a good tip that you gave.
And then I try and make my systems as easy as I possibly can, like dot point instructions for people to follow, so that they're so ridiculously easy that anyone else could come in and do them.
Can you talk about that? Like, what is a system? Yeah. How do you so define a system or create one?
I guess there's a lot of different people that would do it in different ways. But for myself personally, I've always just used Google Drive spreadsheets. So it's like an Excel file. Mm-hmm. And all I do is have, like, I was updating one today for my sales processes, because I've just got one of my girls to help me specifically with follow-ups for sales conversations. Like, go through my messages, see who hasn't replied, and try and restart the conversation. And so depending on whether we've sent them the prices or not, there's two different responses that I usually would say to people to get the conversation going again. Mm-hmm. And so I just had in the spreadsheet that says sales processes, I created a new tab called follow-ups. And then I said, if you find a conversation that is at this, copy and paste this into it. If you find a conversation that ended on this note, copy and paste this into it. And then if they ask for information, send them this link. And then if they don't, send them this. And so it's basically as simple as I can possibly make it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I could even add in a video instruction of me showing them how to do it, so that it's really hard for people to stuff up.
Right. I love that, because that's the thing we get confused as business owners, is there's a lot of people that we get frustrated that staff aren't as ambitious as us. I mean, if they were so ambitious, they would have started the business themselves. You know, a lot of these people, they need the training because they need the help. If they were smart, and this isn't, it's sort of a put down, but I don't intend it as a put down, but it was like, if they, because it's funny, in another interview, I said, you know, you can make good money working for somebody else. But for a lot of people, if they were better disciplined, you know, smarter in certain areas, not as a person, you know, but, you know, just had, they had that ambition and drive, they would more likely not be working for someone else. Or if they were working for someone else, they would define the role and their terms, you know, and it would, like, there's different types of employees, right? There's employees that come in and they like they own, like they take control of a part of your business. You know, they almost are like a entrepreneur in your business. And then there's people that are just like plug in and, you know, collect what they do and go home, and they're more excited about getting drunk on the weekend and, you know, and that sort of thing. So
I find that sometimes, like, we as entrepreneurs need, I find that I need people like that that want a job.
Right. Oh yeah. Because they'll do it and they'll show up and they'll be on time. And that's the stuff we don't want to do because we're so like, you know, we just, it's shiny object syndrome. Once something's built, we want to move. A lot of us want to move on to the next thing. And so it can make it a big challenge for us. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So do you see that a lot of mistakes your clients make? Like, what are some of the common things that a lot of your clients and followers and the businesses that you help, what are some of the kind of the foundational things that they're missing up?
Yeah, I honestly, and this is something that I just started talking about recently in my own content. When I first started teaching like business and marketing and specifically how to get customers with Facebook, like that's the main thing that I teach. I thought that once I'd given people the instructions, it would be really easy for like anyone to go in and follow them and get results. And what I found, and it's taken me a long time to get my head around why it is, but what I found is that some people will come in and just absolutely smash it out of the park, make like thousands of dollars off a very small ad spend on their first ad, and I'm always just blown away by it. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people that no matter what you do and how much you help them and how hard they try, will still like never get very good results, or they'll get a little bit of a result, but then it's never good enough for them, or they'll complain about it and stuff. And so it has taken me until this point to be absolutely certain that mindset plays the biggest difference, biggest role in the success of your business. Like, you can have the exact same business as someone else, but a completely different mindset, and you can either be so successful or not, depending on how you see things and how you, like, I'm such a big believer in the law of attraction, and you get what you focus on. And so when people come in and they're focused on how hard everything is, then everything's hard.
Yep.
Whereas when they come in and they focus on how great they want things to be, they make it happen. So I honestly believe that that's one of the biggest things that I see, that just I've seen.
Getting the mindset right and dealing with and being able to come back from setbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset.
The fixed mindset. Yeah. Can you explain that a little bit? What is that for the listeners? What's the difference?
I actually, when I realized this, I did a whole training on it in my program right at the beginning because I'm like, I know what's most important. You need to have a growth mindset if you want to do well. So I guess it's in very simple terms. There's actually a really great Google graphic if you just Google fixed mindset versus growth mindset that shows it quite clearly. But it's like people either believe that they are just as they are and that's as good as they are and they can't learn new skills and that's just like that's them. They're either good at it or they're not. Mm. That's a fixed mindset. Whereas someone with a growth mindset knows that they can learn anything and that anything is possible for them. Mm. So a real example of that that I see a lot is people come in and they go, oh, I'm just not good with technology. And I'm like, well, if that's what you believe, then that's you're just going to always struggle with it. Whereas if you come in and go, okay, look, I'm not very good at Facebook marketing or technology now, but I know that I can learn after I watch a couple of videos, then they're going to learn and they're going to be good at it. So, yeah, that's just a basic example, I suppose.
No, I totally get it because as humans, we're so powerful. We've put people on the moon. We've touched the deepest, darkest parts of the ocean. We've doubled our life expectancy. We've created things like now where I can use my headset. And just with a simple headset, I can talk to you from miles and miles from another part in the ocean. It's a fantastic world that we live in right now. And a lot of it's just been people have had, the Wright brothers invented flight. Like a lot of people don't understand that. Like they said, we want to fly. And people laughed because they said, you're a land animal. And they went, yeah, that's okay. We want to fly. And they figured it out. The light bulb, electric, like there's these amazing things that we've been able to do. And it was just people that were like, no, I'm just going to figure out a way to do it. There's got to be a way to do it. And they just went and did it. And that's they just did it. And so mindset, I'm totally with you on that. So
that's absolutely how my brain works too. Like if I see someone else doing something, I'm like, I'm going to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. So I do. Whereas it just blows my mind that more people don't think like that.
So I have a question though, because something you said, what are some of the fundamentals for getting clients off Facebook? Is it not like, yeah, I don't want to assume anything and make myself sound silly, but is it not just putting an offer up and seeing a response to it or what is, well, go ahead.
It is and it isn't. Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of it is, my philosophy on Facebook marketing is that it's nothing about Facebook and it's everything about human connection.
Ooh. Because
who uses it?
Right.
So I believe that if you want to be able to attract clients to you, you need to understand people really, really in depth. So that the majority of what I teach isn't actually how to do things with Facebook. It's how to get inside people's heads. So a basic explanation of that would be like to really, really think about who one of your clients is and why they've come to you, but also get a little bit more in depth with like the emotional reasons as to why they came to you and how they felt before coming to you and how they feel after you and how like who they are as a person and what they like and that kind of stuff. And I really want to help brands and businesses to put more humanity into their own marketing and their businesses so that when people come across them and they see their ads, it isn't just, oh, that's an offer that I might not like. It's like they have a feeling, a good feeling about you. They go, oh, like this business has some emotions, like some depth to it. Like I want to find out more about this person or this brand. Like how come I feel so, you know, in love with them? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my kind of strategy around it. I just believe that it's most of the books that I read are not specifically business books. They're how like learning about people skills, because that's what I believe is the most important part in business.
Yeah, I think that's really, I mean, that's all a company is a group of people providing a product or service or solving a problem of another group of people via a product or service, you know. Yeah. So that's, I think that's a major part of it. So what are some tidbits? I mean, what are some tools that some of the listeners can do to go through that? Is there like a quick exercise someone can do to try to think if they're on the button yet or not?
One that I really like to use when you're thinking about posting anything on your Facebook page. So I'm assuming everyone has a Facebook page for their business, whether it's your business name or whether it's you as a public figure or coach or whatever. Imagine that however many fans you have on your Facebook page, like mine I think is currently up to 22,000 or something like that. Imagine that when you go to post anything, it's like walking onto a stage in front of that many people.
Mm-hmm.
Really thinking about what you would actually say to get their attention. And what I see a lot of people doing is it's almost like they walk onto the stage, they throw a picture of something into the audience and they walk off the stage. And so or they walk onto the stage and they just say like, I've got this great deal today. It's this much. Come and get it.
Right.
Whereas really you probably wouldn't do that, like if you were in front of actual people. So right. I always see the internet as, I don't know why people just don't see it as like they look at numbers instead of humans. So, you know, I've got a Facebook group with I think 13,000 members, but I don't see that as just a group of numbers. I see that as like, there's a hell of a lot of people in there.
Right. Yep.
How can I them to engage with each other or with me? Like, and so one of the biggest things I think is, well, sharing things that people are actually going to like and relate to. Mm-hmm. Like stories, people love stories, or like your thoughts or opinions or what's going on behind the scenes. Asking questions, it's probably one of the biggest things for Facebook groups, because I know that people love talking about themselves. That's what I want to try and get more of happening in my social media. I don't want to make it all about me. I want to make it more about them.
Right. Things about them and their experience and what they're going through. Now, isn't that, well, I guess, because when you say the walk on stage, I love that. In fact, in one of my books, I have something I call the food court test. I say when people are testing their marketing, but it's about offers. It's not about like social media management. So the food court test is like, you know, before you launch your marketing, which is a little different. And that's, I actually have a question for you. This isn't like a personal pitch or anything, but sure. I've some background on it. Like, it's kind of like before you launch your marketing, a lot of people, they like, if they have ice cream, they would just get on the table in the food court at a mall and just be like, Baskin and Robbins, we're great. You know, like that's their marketing, you know? And I'm like, yes. What would happen if you did that in a mall? If you just got on a table and screamed that, people look at you and be like, oh, okay. And then just go back to whatever they were doing. But in the opposite, if you got on that table and you were like, free ice cream, totally different response. You get a bunch of people come over and then they come to your table. You're like, hey, here's your free ice cream sample. If you're interested, it's $5 or $3, $3 a pint, or you get two for $5. Are you which flavor are you interested in? You know, and like you would get a totally different experience. But that is a marketing campaign that, you know, that's like a one-step thing. So when you said that every time before I do a post, I think about walking on a stage, I was like, I felt like that's a lot of work, and maybe it just is, and I need to suck it up. But you know what I mean? Like, are you, because it's true, you're getting on stage in front of that many people, but.
Yeah, I guess I'll just share something that just went through my head as a little visualization exactly as you were saying that. I was thinking like, oh, how could I do that then if I was asking questions rather than shouting an offer? And I think, well, I could get up on a table and say, excuse me, everybody, can you just raise your hands if you like chocolate ice cream or do you like strawberry ice cream?
Oh, right.
Well, yep. Who likes chocolate? It could be over here or vanilla over there. So I don't know. That just popped into my head. So I thought I'd share it.
No, but that's perfect. That gave me clear. It's like a classroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like getting them involved, like share their own likes and opinions and group together into who likes chocolate and who likes strawberry and who likes vanilla.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing. Yeah. Who here? Yeah. That makes it better because I mean, you saw me in a workshop. That totally changes the dynamic. Cause I was just thinking like, if you're supposed to be posting, you know, like 2 times, 3 times a day, 4 times a day, how do you come up with something? Cause I'm, you know, I'm a marketer. I'm like, what's the offer? What's the, but you're right. This is the social engagement part. It's building the community, the value, all this stuff. Now, how do you segment those? Like, is it, you know, like before the internet, it was like, what was it? It was like 80%, 60% content, 20% or 40% pitch. But now with online, a lot of people say it's now like 90-10 or 95-5. Would you agree?
I don't work on numbers that much. I know I kind of go anti a lot of what people teach, but sure. It's just how I work. But I'm really intuition focused and based. And so I have an online business and I launch a lot of different online little programs and things. And I guess I kind of have a ratio of 3 to 1 when I break it down and I really think about it. So that could be going like 3 months with just content marketing and then launching something in the fourth month, or it could be 3 weeks of content marketing and then launching something in the fourth week. It could be 3 days. One day, but what I would do with that, like if it was an ice cream kind of perspective, I would start asking questions now about their ice cream preferences and I would think about all of that. And then I would think, how can I put together the most amazing ice cream offer for all these people now knowing what I know about what they like?
Right, right, right. Oh, geez. You mean you actually ask people what they want and then give it to them? That's never going to work. What are you doing?
Exactly.
So internet is so powerful. It's so powerful. People don't even realize it. You know, keyword research, people are pulling their thoughts out of their head. Social media, like you said, those aren't just numbers. You know, you don't get 5 likes. Those are 5 human beings. I think about that sometimes when I'm stuck in traffic. You know, I'll look around and I'll be like, every car represents at least 1 life with 2 parents, you know, and 2 parents for each of those 2 people. And like, I'm just like, it's just so like, it's really overwhelming when you think about it. Yeah. So, and you can go
think about what people are doing when they are actually engaging with your posts. Like, I think I asked a question in my Facebook group once. I'm like, can you take a picture of whatever is on the other side of your phone right now? Like, if you're looking at your phone, just take a picture of what you're doing and post it up on this thread. Because, and it's really interesting because you get some people were like on the toilet on their phone, or some people were driving and sitting at the traffic lights, or some people were waiting for the microwave to beep, some people were walking their dog. And so it really helps you to put into perspective of like, and this is why I always think people are, one of my philosophies actually with Facebook marketing and getting clients on Facebook is that people don't want to leave Facebook. So if they're on there, they're usually doing something else at the same time, or like watching TV or whatever. And if you have an offer that they can just like maybe comment on or click on, and you can just start send them a message directly and start having a conversation with them, it's so much easier sometimes than going through a really long funnel. So I know that works as well because I know so many people do it so successfully, but I've always been like, you know, comment on this if you're interested and I'll PM you. And then you just start chatting to people.
Yeah. No, I did a beta launch for a program months ago now, like 6 months ago. And it was that. It was a Facebook post on a Monday, a Facebook post on a Friday, and it was comment or PM me. And, you know, and I was only asking for 12 people and I got 15 people, you know, signed up for a $500 program. That was just a beta test to see if there was, it was a viability test. Is there enough people interested in me teaching this topic, you know, for me to go, yeah. So, that's awesome. Yep. No, I mean, but that's, we're connecting. That's what I love about it is so far what I've really learned is that you're really good at connecting with people, like in whether it's through social media or just that. I mean, just, hey, are you comment or click like if you're interested, and boom, let's do some chatting. Like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? Let's get this conversation going. I wonder if that could even replace phone sales at some point, you know, because
I don't make phone sales anymore. I haven't done it since I had my baby.
Yeah. You don't want to be talking with a crying baby in the background and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And you can do little like Facebook voice messages or videos or call, like phone calls through Facebook if you do want to chat to someone. But I send a lot of those little short 1 minute voice messages just to add a bit of a more personal touch than just text. And that works really well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an awesome world that we live in. That's excellent. So I'm going to ask, do you have a super ninja secret way to do research on people? Is it just kind of surveying them? Do you use the social graph or anything? Do you search something like that? Do you go into Facebook groups of like groups if you've got something you're interested in? You have your own group now, lots of people, but I mean, in the beginning, did you go and like, I don't know, where did you pull some of your data from?
Yeah.
I'm such a data guy.
I know, you're the complete opposite of me. I'm like, I've never checked my stats in my group ever. probably should. I married a data guy though, so he helps me with that stuff.
Right.
So before I had my own group, I guess I've always been I'm really active in my own group, but I'm a massive lurker in other people's groups. Mm. I'm one of those people who fly on the wall and I just watch conversations and I look at questions and I read all the comments, but I never click on anything. And I learn a lot still about what people want and need just from doing that. So I'm in a lot of groups that are in like niche specific to that have people in them that I help with things, and sometimes they might inspire an offer that I could create for a specific pain that people are facing, or sometimes it might just give me ideas for content to talk about or do videos on. Like I could just be like, oh, I saw this post in this Facebook group the other day and it's talking about this, and so I thought I'd share this about it. Or so I do a lot of my market research in Facebook groups. I just think it's, you know, people band together there for similar reasons and have similar concerns. But I guess a lot of it's in my own Facebook group now too. But right. I still use other groups.
Yeah, of course, because it's there. Like what you said is so valuable. I really hope people are like paying attention to this, because you just dropped a huge value bomb right there. Like if you are driving, you might need to pull over and just re-listen to the last 30 seconds, okay? Or even maybe the whole interview, because she's been dropping great value bombs the whole way through. She like lurks in others. So somebody else went through I talk about abundance a ton on this, on the show, but like, there's just so much that we didn't have to create. So somebody else gathered 10,000 of your ideal prospects in a spot that you can access from your toilet or in your living room in your underwear. And you go in and you just lurk through all the conversations people are having organically between themselves or because admin have posted, and you just like see popular stuff people are responding to. That's the definition of finding a starving crowd. I mean, that's like, yeah, I go into a group and I look, and if there's a really active thread, I go, oh, there's a lot of people that have this that's a pain in the butt. Let me just, you know, pull from the language that they're using and structure my offer and the things that they say they're looking for. And let me just throw that on the page like, hey, would you be interested in a solution that does this, doesn't do that, and comes in this format and, you know, is about this price? Click here if you're interested. And then you're like, hey, I had this inspiration and I wanted to put this together. And people are like, oh my God, she's reading my mind. Yeah, you read their mind. They literally put their heart and soul on a page for you on the phone. Like, for people listening to this, this is the world we live in. Like, you don't need, like, it used to cost millions of dollars for companies to do research, send people on the street with surveys and clipboards and ask them and analyze them. Like, you're just on your cell phone. Like, a 16-year-old teenage girl could do this. 16-year-old teenage girl could pick something like, I like ponies, and join some pony Facebook groups and find something that people are really passionate about, and then sell like, oh, people are really passionate about tie-dyed ponies. And so she could put together a sticker book or a pony color. Like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like,
and they are. Like, you look at YouTube and there's like people in there with so many millions of followers that are teenagers, and then they're creating their own brands and selling stuff to them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Ooh. It's so awesome.
If I was 16 again now, oh my God.
Right. You're like, I would have cleaned up.
Oh yeah.
Well, the good news is that it's not over yet. So, I mean, actually that's a good thing. Where do you see the future of all this going?
Oh my God. I don't know. I'm such a, like, I like living in the moment a lot. I just adapt. So I don't really see.
Girl, don't be such a downer. I'm enjoying the present right now.
I am. Yeah, I don't know. I never predict where things are going. I just go with it.
Right. Do you think Facebook will always be the end all, big all? or end all be all?
I think Facebook's taking over the world, or they're trying really hard. Like mm-hmm. they've even got business searches. So they're trying to take over Google. They're trying to take over YouTube. They've now got Facebook creator platform. So if you, like, they want to try and get in on that kind of YouTube thing where they pay people that are content creators.
Yeah. Well, because YouTube burned a ton of people. YouTube has really upset a lot of people recently. Pardon?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a thing because they added something to their ad features where, like, if your company doesn't support whether it's gay people or political opinions, you could prevent your ads from showing in those networks. So if you're very politically motivated as a business, you don't want your ads showing over like Rush Limbaugh or something in the US, you know, or whoever picks someone, you know, like those kinds of parties, you can segment that. But one of the problems is, and they also have pulled videos down for being political or for talking about stuff. And there's been people that like the perfect example is the gun attack in Los Angeles. Yeah. A lot of creators wanted to do GoFundMe campaigns for that, or GoFund the Red Cross, or just fund anybody. Right. Mm. And there was a thing where they all got, a lot of them got kind of slapped and pulled down for that video. Or YouTube won't pay them out the AdSense, because when they post a video, they get paid for the ads that are shown right during their video. Some people, they get millions of views, and YouTube won't pay them because they're not like, it was infringed on their content. But then you've got some other channels that are like major TV networks that do the exact same thing, and they're not penalized at all. So there's a lot of creators that feel like YouTube discriminates between kind of the small creator that's in his, it doesn't matter that he's got millions of views. You know, if you're not a big company with a bunch of lawyers and all that sort of stuff, they treat you differently. So there's been a lot of people that have kind of been uncomfortable with YouTube and what they're doing, and they are looking for other platforms. And I think that's something that's inspired Facebook to move quickly and get that created. I'd heard something, but I didn't really know that they'd actually like full move forward with that. So
there's actually an app, I've downloaded it, but I haven't played with it much yet, a Facebook creators app, and you can have like your own logo on your videos and all sorts of stuff.
What?
Live videos. You can put your own logo and like an intro on them.
What? Shut up. What? I'm getting this app. I'm getting this app. What's it called?
I haven't used it yet, but it's just called Facebook Creator or Facebook Creators.
Okay.
Or maybe it's, you go to facebook.com/creator and then you sign up. I can't remember how I got it. But
well, anyone like listen, that. Hopefully Google will be our friend. They haven't gotten rid of Facebook yet. I already have it, apparently. Apparently I already have it, but I haven't opened it. Okay. We'll do that after this interview. That's fantastic. So now for you, you talked about how you do a lot of like posting and then you talk to people on Facebook. Do you do funnels? Do you do backend sales? Do you just have like you said, like 3-in-1 and you do promotions to your group? How do you structure things? Do you have like a process you try to put people through?
Yeah, I know intimately, I suppose, my audience is me. Like that's who my target audience is. So I know the process that I like, or I pay attention to my own buying for the client. So I admit that I probably could do a lot better in funnel land, that kind of stuff. I guess I do have a freebie that's running that brings people into my email list and to my group. And then every now and then when I do a launch, I sell things. Like I might sell an ebook and then have an upsell to something else, but I really don't have anything kind of automated. I've tried having things automated, but it hasn't worked for whatever reason. So
girlfriend, just back to we need to talk. we need to talk because you're doing so well right now. I mean, people, if they knew the kind of revenue you could generate with just a couple simple Facebook posts, they would just be shocked and very envious. And just some simple structuring of that stuff. Yeah, we definitely need to talk after this. So for those listening, lifetime customer value is a really important number. I mean, if you're not gifted in building and creating a following like Chris is, which is obviously, it's an amazing asset, and it's a fundamental required principle in business, whether it's your own staff and your own team, whether it's customers, because that's what it is, right? I mean, Drayton Bird is one of the best-selling, we also have an interview with him. He has one of the best-selling marketing books in the UK for over 35 years now. It's been on the bestsellers list. And in it, there's a quote that says, the purpose of business is to locate a prospect, to turn them into a customer, and make that customer your friend. And
yes.
Sounds like you're really good. You're really adept at that, at bringing people to your inner circle and then bonding with them. And so in that sense, there's some fundamental business practices that you already have taken care of just innately by taking care of the human, you know, by being conscientious about the proper care and feeding of your humans, you know, you've taken care of a lot of that stuff. So It would be interesting to know if you could put a value on the average customer you have. How much money has the average customer spent with you? You know, and then you could be, okay, the average customer is worth, you know, like $800. Okay. And then if you were to do an ad campaign, you could know what you could afford to spend to get a new fan or follower. Ideally, if you do this, I know if I'm going to finish my thought, but I'm going to give the asterisk, the disclaimer at the end. But if you knew what you could afford to, what a person was worth. So the other thing you could do is take the money you've made. This is actually really simple. Take all the money you've made from your Facebook group and divide it by people in your Facebook group. That'll tell you the value of each member of your Facebook group. So if you're just going to do a campaign just to grow your Facebook group alone, being that that's the source of most of your customers, you would know what you could afford to spend on an ad campaign and still be profitable if you just keep engaging in business as you've already been doing on your current schedule. Now, the caveat about that is you do want to try and prove that they monetize within a period of time, 15, 30, 45 days, 60 days would be kind of the maximum I would wait, because I have a friend, his business almost took a nosedive because he was buying really, he got focused. So this is another thing for people listening. It's not necessarily the cost per click or cost per lead. It's cost per sale. That's so important. Because he was focused on cheap leads, and he found a Facebook campaign of guys that were working for him. He was getting leads for his business for like 15 cents, 45 cents. And he'd been paying like $5, $7, $12 before. And he was like this. And he just, the company had such a great reputation that he just believed they were working magic. And his buying cycle was 4.5 weeks. And so he had 4.5 weeks of these garbage leads in his system when he realized sales were tanking. And then he had to retool and get everything else back because he was primarily dependent on paid ads at that time. Retool, get everything, you know, back up and running to fill that, and then have to wait and kind of cross his fingers and hope that in 4.5 weeks that those people are going to buy. So you do want to try to put a timeline on that. But that's such a powerful thing. I mean, if you did that math, you could exponentially grow the following that you have with investing just a small amount of money like you would in a sales rep, you know, that needs some time to be trained and figure things out. Just to grow what you're already doing and have a couple of scheduled promotions already in the future to know that, all right, I'm going to do this again and again. And that's the same sort of thing. If you do a promotion, so you know, you can take the income you made on an entire year, but you can also just do the income you made on a promotion. You know, say you do a launch and you made 50 grand or 100 grand or, you know, more than that, whatever, $5,000. Okay, $5,000 divided by this many followers means this much per follower. Okay, well, right before I do my next promotion, we're going to throw a bunch more people in there. You know what I mean? And then we're going to do that next launch. And you kind of gives you a budget like, all right, I'll spend $500 to grow it. I'll spend $1,000, $2,000 to grow it, you know, because you've got those, that numbers, those metrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris said, well, what you do is amazing. I'm in awe of that because of the whole building that massive social media following, you know, that's, I think when we talked about what we see as the future, I think there's going to be a ton more of that sort of thing because it's so easy to connect now. I know that businesses can pay to advertise in that, but people who can just grow tens of thousands of followers through the organic tools available to them, you know, like there's some staying power in that. There's some real staying power in that. One of the old models was, you know, it's how much you can afford to spend to buy a customer. And there is a part of that. I mean, with what I just shared to you, you know, like you can see the power in that, but it only works on a foundation of something that's organically loved by the following. You know, and
yeah,
so
yeah, I completely agree.
So you've been so helpful and shared so much information on this call with us. I really think people listening may want to go back and listen to it a couple of times. There were some lessons in the stories that she told that I got, and I don't know if other people got it, but I really think there's a lot of value just in going kind of through how your mindset is. Your mindset where it needs to be, or are you going to trip yourself up? Do you believe you can do it? Do you not believe you can do it? What are the minds of the people on your team and that you're surrounded with? Are you surrounded with a bunch of people who are just like you? Maybe that's limiting your business because you need people with different perspectives and opinions. Are you fully into your customer's head? You know, do you really know how they feel before they come to you, after they come to you, how they feel before and after the experience? And then of course we talked about the posting, like the classroom style. I think that was so valuable, you know, like, hey, who here likes chocolate ice cream? Who here likes that? And that it's like running a workshop, you know, on social media all day, every day. It's engaging with those people. And it's about, not about you, it's about them. And so building that engagement. I liked how you talked about how you break up your content. So you've got almost seasons to your business. You have seasons of just producing content and seasons of promoting programs and getting sales. And then also wanting to how you do your research. Like, okay, but how do you come up with this stuff? How do you make a really irresistible offer to your group? You talked about how you do it. You're like, I just hang out on social media, whether I'm getting my nails done, whether I'm taking, you know, feeding my baby, whatever I'm doing, whether I'm on a plane headed to Indonesia. You know, I just hang out on my phone and I lurk in groups and I just do some research, you know. And geez, if people listen to this don't have the time or the grit or the interest in doing that, that's something that could be easily delegated to a virtual assistant. You know, hey, go in these groups, do this research, find out what you can. What are the most popular common pain points and threads? You know, find pain points, build a list of syntax, you know, words that people use, ways they talk about it. So it was a really valuable call, a ton of value in that. Carissa, obviously it's no surprise that you've been a bit of a natural at this. Is there anything I didn't ask you that I should have asked you?
No, I think we covered some pretty cool stuff, pretty important stuff.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, thank you so much, because you've got your followers and you've got your customers and you've got a baby as well. You've got a husband and a family you could be taking care of. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your life and your day to come and share and help myself and my listeners grow our businesses and our followings better, because you didn't have to. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I think it's great. I've got to share this one with everyone. I even shared some stuff that I don't think I've talked about before. So it's good.
Well, let's get it out there. So thank you so much, Carissa. Again, honor and a pleasure. For anyone that's been following this, you can look up Carissa Hill online, of course. Do you have a website or anything, the name of your group you want to send them to specifically?
Yeah, well, the website is carissahill.com.au and the group is called Coffee with Carissa.
Got it. And it's CarissaHill. And again, she's in Australia, so it's .com.au for Australia. Again, Carissa, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. I so look forward to seeing how our businesses and our lives grow and evolve over the next 10, 15, 25 years.
You've reached the end of our interview. Now, first, let me thank you for listening. I appreciate and respect you more than you'll ever know. And now I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. First, what three lessons did you just learn? What three aha moments just jumped out at you? Second, what can you implement for yourself and your business in the next 24 hours? Third, what can you give to someone else to help you with, or give to them to just do it for you? Whatever it is, remember, taking action is the secret sauce to results. Now, if you think this interview would be helpful for a friend, please give them a link to it. It'll help them and it'll help me too. I'd also like to invite you to help me find out more about the challenges you're facing, your dreams, your goals, and how I can help you overcome what's holding you back. We both do better when we know better, and your success is my success. So please reach out and interact. You can visit our website, bestbusinesscoach.ca for Canada or California, where I'm from and where I'm living. You're welcome to also try out one of our paid programs. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and pretty much every other social media channel you can think of. You should also subscribe to the podcast. And if you're enjoying them, please leave us a nice review. It really helps. That's all for now. Once again, thank you. Take care of yourself. And remember, the world needs the best business you can build. And I believe in you.